Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco.
Across Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Friday, TGIF, July 21st, and we are listening to the incomparable Tony Bennett. I left my heart in San Francisco. Tony Bennett left us earlier today at the age of 96. Tough day for somebody who really admired Tony Bennett, loved Tony Bennett, loved his music. Thus, if you're watching on the stream, on Facebook and on Twitter, elsewhere, I have put on my suit and tie today and in honor of Tony Bennett, because if nothing else, Tony Bennett was classy. Absolutely classy. Mr. Zommers, thank you for that Tony Bennett intro. Appreciate it. I got to see Tony Bennett in person, one of the great concerts of my life. Right across the street from where we're at right now in downtown Madison, high above State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, looking out our window at the world headquarters, looking over at the Overture Center. Back in 2005, 2006, bought a last-minute ticket. It was like fourth, fifth row, orchestra seating from the stage. Tony Bennett was there, and holy cow. The guy was absolutely fantastic. The best part of the concert, in my opinion, is when he had a drummer, and he had a string bass player, and he had his pianist. And he said, guys, take five. And they walked off the stage. And Tony Bennett just talked to the audience. And he's saying, I can't remember two or three numbers a cappella. Right center stage. And I'm telling you, Tony Bennett, live and in person, singing a cappella, sounded as good, if maybe not even better, than the recorded Tony Bennett on your vinyl, on your CD, on your streaming. He was the real deal. And we're going to talk about Tony Bennett and remember him on this fine day. Mr. Zommers, are you a Tony Bennett fan? Were you a Tony Bennett fan?
Yeah, definitely. And I know we've talked about him on the show before. We played the duet with him and Lady Gaga, and it's very powerful to see how even in his later days with severe dementia, mm-hmm. the music was so ingrained in him that it was still there. And he knew where he was, he knew who he was, he knew who Lady Gaga was, and it was still incredible.
It was. An incredible performer. Never got to meet him in person, but from everything I've heard, an incredible person as well. Going to be talking about Tony Bennett this hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour then, our friend and our ongoing contributor, Mr. Brady Ewing, also a Richland Center native and former Wisconsin Badger football fullback, captain of the team, as a matter of fact, went to three Rose Bowls, played with Russell Wilson and J.J. Watt and others, went on to have a career in the NFL for 3 years with the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's been a while since Brady's been able to join us. He is here today. Looking forward to having him at the bottom of the hour at 1:30. Got a big full schedule, Brady. Going to talk to him about what's been happening down at Northwestern in terms of hazing in the football program and also at the baseball program. Their coach, Jim Foster, baseball also fired. Going to be talking about Brady, asking him, is that common, this kind of hazing stuff that allegedly went on down in Northwestern? Is that common in D1 football? We'll ask Brady that. Also talk about Badger football recruiting. Another big recruit for Coach Luke Fickle, a tight end out of Illinois, Grant Steck. Hear from Grant Steck as well and get Brady's comments on that. Brady was in a big softball tournament. Alec Ingold, his former teammate, has the Ingold Foundation from Southwest Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, he plays fullback for the Dolphins. Brady was there. We'll ask him how that went. And also a little bit of basketball. Coach Greg Gard having a great recruiting season as well. So looking forward to having Brady at the bottom of the hour today. And it is a big ticket giveaway Friday, folks. We have more. Our friend and colleague, Luke Mathers, who you just heard with Will Walter, on Town Call before this program. Luke has opened up the vault, and we have 6 more Milwaukee Brewer tickets to give away today. Going to be giving away 6 tickets to the Brewers. This is for Monday, July 24th. At 7:10 in the evening. And boy, folks, if you want to see a battle royale, this is the one. The Brewers will be hosting their rival right now in the Central League, or the National League Central Division, Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Reds coming to town. The Brewers right now 2.5 games ahead of the Reds. And we're going to give away tickets to that, as well as also State Fair tickets. So big day today. It's Board Game of the Week, but most of Friday, and your phone calls as well. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, talking Tony Bennett when we come back. Me.
Attention.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me.
You're so deep in my heart, you're really a part of me.
I've got you.
Yes, I do.
Under my skin.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Friday. We are along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is the 21st of July, 2023. Played a little Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. Dressed up in my Tony Bennett best today as we are mourning, remembering, but also celebrating the life of now the late and still great Tony Bennett. It was announced that he passed away this morning at age 96. What are your impressions of Tony Bennett? What are your memories of Tony Bennett? You ever see him in person? Ever see him in a concert like I did? Would love to hear from you on Tony Bennett. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can also text in as well on the text line. Download the Civic Media app at your favorite app store. Call or text there as well. Have some album covers here. I actually own vinyl. How about that? Here was one Tony Bennett, Bill Charlip, called The Silver Lining, Songs of Jerome Kern. For those of you watching at home, really, really great album. Just masterfully sung, masterfully done. Here's one of the, here's Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga, Cheek to Cheek. Anything Goes, great version of that. Sophisticated Lady, It Don't Mean a Thing. Really great album there by Tony Bennett. He was just a fascinating character to me, because not only was he a great musician, he was a great painter, a great drawer, a great artist. And was watching a piece, or rewatching a piece, that first appeared on CBS Sunday Morning. And it was the great Anthony Mason was the interviewer. And they were walking through one of the museums in New York City, and Tony Bennett was saying, you know, it was really his art teacher. They said, you're a talented artist, but, you know, you're an even better singer. And that's what led him to go into singing. A fantastic guy, Tony Bennett. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you, your impressions on Tony Bennett. Let me read you a couple of paragraphs from this story. Great story today on CNN. Legendary singer Tony Bennett, best known for singing I Left My Heart in San Francisco, has died, according to his publicist, Sylvia Weiner, passed away at age 96. His career spanning 8 decades, Bennett wowed Bob Hope and Frank Sinatra, before live on MTV, also a cartoon cameo on The Simpsons, and recorded 2 albums of duets with Lady Gaga, winning 19 Grammy Awards and a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Recording Academy along the way. In 1965, Frank Sinatra told Life magazine that Bennett was, quote, the best singer in the business. Bennett and his family opened up in 2021 about the singer being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in 2016, but the public had been unaware of his declining health because he kept on performing. And performing he did. No matter how many awards he won, or how many grueling hours on tour he logged, or how many times he belted out his signature song, Bennett often said he never worked a day in his life because he loved performing so much. His stint was a singing waiter at a New York restaurant, and that was only the beginning. Even then, at age 15, Bennett knew he'd found his calling. He said to Larry King Live back in 1988, I just decided that I would love to become successful, and if I didn't, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. I loved it. Tony Bennett, survived by his wife, Susan Benedetto, his 2 sons, Danny and Dan, his daughter, Jonah, and another daughter, Antonia, and of course, 9 grandchildren. The great Tony Bennett. What are your thoughts, your impressions on Tony Bennett? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone. Our friend and ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry. Jeff, thanks for tuning in and giving us a call. What are your memories? What are your thoughts on Tony Bennett?
Well, he's been a favorite of mine for a very long time, Todd. And when I was growing up, my dad played a lot of Tony Bennett records.
All right.
Earliest musical memories I have. He was a fantastic jazz singer. Mm. Not too many of those old crooners were actually what they considered to be jazz singers, but sure. Tony was. And he played with orchestras and big band, you know, sang with orchestras and big bands, but he was at his best, like you said earlier, when he was with a jazz trio,
yeah.
Just a drums, bass, and a piano. And his piano player for decades was Ralph Sharon. And he performed with the Ralph Sharon Trio when he did live shows most of the time, and they were just amazing, absolutely incredible. And then, like you brought up in the article you were reading, his career was sort of on the skids, but he reinvented himself in the 90s.
Yeah.
He was on MTV. He had videos in rotation on MTV, and he did all that without compromising, he stayed true to his past. It was just absolutely marvelous. He was just an amazing performer. And if people don't know that much about him and you want to get, you know, a start, where do I start for Tony Bennett? Mm-hmm. I recommend that 1990s MTV Unplugged live album, which is just absolutely amazing.
I totally agree.
From beginning to end. So
Katie Lang and Elvis Costello was on that. What a Grammy that year.
Yes.
You'll appreciate this. He was on Larry King Live in 2004 and, talked about appealing to different generations. As you said, this was a quote at the time from Tony Bennett. He said, quote, everything today is all demographic, you know, everything is split up. I never did that. Instead, he said he modeled himself after the old masters like Jack Benny and Charlie Chaplin and Walt Disney. He said, quote, they played to the whole family. And so, you know, if they hit, everybody bought it. That was Tony Bennett. I mean, he was masterful at that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's hard to put in words, you know, just how much he meant to the history of music. And he did some incredible albums with the great Dave Brubeck. Mm-hmm. He did just wonderful. He did a tribute to Billie Holiday, an album. He did a tribute to Fred Astaire called Steppin' Out. Mm-hmm. Just an absolute national treasure, just a world treasure, actually.
Yeah. Did you ever get to see him in person?
Great things about him. I never did.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity, and something came up, and I couldn't go, and I had to give away my ticket. Oh. And it's one of the biggest disappointments of my musical life. it may have been the same tour, the same time you saw him. It may have been that.
Yeah, well, it was 05, 06. I was working at the state capitol a couple blocks away, and I thought, well, I should buy a ticket, and I didn't. I'm like, you know what? By gosh, I'm going to do it. And I walked down, I think, over my lunch. And somebody returned a ticket or the tour. It was like one of those like last minute things that just became available. And I think I paid like $94, which was a heck of a lot. Well, still is a lot of money for me, but I mean, it was a lot of money. And I sat there and I thought, you know what? That's the best $94 I ever spent in my life. Really?
Would it be nuts if that was my ticket?
Well, I apologize if it was, but you probably know this. You probably know this, but it's in this story in CNN. He was born Anthony Dominic Benedetto on August 3rd, 1926, pardon me, in Astoria, New York. And he was playing his first gig in 1946 at the Shangri-La nightclub and then went on to perform with Bob Hope. Heard him at the Greenwich Village. And he said in a 2004 interview, Bennett did, he said, "Hope took me from that show and put me right on stage at the Paramount. He said, 'What's your name?' I said, 'Anthony Dominic Benedetto.' He said, 'Well, that's too long for the marquee. Let's simplify it. Let's call you Tony Bennett.'" And that's how he got his name. Bob Hope gave him his name.
That's amazing.
But that's how it works.
He said his...
Go ahead.
Yeah. That's how it worked. The favorite song he ever recorded was not "I Left My Heart in San Francisco." He said it was "When Joanna Loved Me," which was another of his hits. And he named his daughter Joanna after that song, which I think is another great story.
Now, that I didn't know. When I saw him live, they started doing "I Left My Heart in San Francisco." And he started playing the intro. The crowd goes wild. He goes, wait. And then they stop playing. He goes, "I got a confession to make." And we're like, "What?" And he goes, "I'll tell you something. When I first heard this tune, I hated it." he said, I thought it was just kind of like, it's not going to go anywhere. And it was like the B-side, whatever the B-side of that release was, that record, he thought that was going to be the hit. And then he goes, "Then my manager showed me the numbers." And he goes, "Well, how much money this was making?" And they said, "Do you still not like it?" He said, "I learned to love it." So, I mean, that was, I just thought it was great that Tony Bennett was not necessarily sold on "I Left My Heart in San Francisco," and that it just became his signature tune. But to hear him tell it was great.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I don't do it justice, but it was great. Jeff, I can't thank you enough for, and for those who don't know, Jeff and I worked together back in RCO and WRCO Richland Center back in the day, which is now owned by Civic Media. And the person I thought about today, Jeff, was our former colleague, Ray Schrader, who used to have the show Reminiscing Absolutely. With Ray in the Afternoon, who used to play all this great music. And you know, Ray Pat left us 2-3 years ago himself in his 90s. But I thought of Ray today.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Me too. Absolutely.
Yeah. And shout out to his lovely and talented wife, Harriet, who is still very much alive and doing fantastic. And so we give a shout out to Harriet back in RC as well. Jeff, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate you. We can catch you on WVMO this weekend. Is that correct? Over in Monona?
That's right.
What time?
9 a.m. Saturday.
9 a.m. Saturday. Catch Jeff. Another great show. What's on tap for this week?
This week in music history.
What's on tap?
That's nice of you to plug the show.
Well, of course.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome. What's on what's on tap for this week in music history?
Got a Beatles movie premiere.
All right.
Surprise, I'm playing a Beatles song. going over some musical birthdays for the week. A lot of cool. And some two jazz legends died this week in history, John Coltrane and Billie Holiday. So I played some songs by them as well.
Oh, okay. Very good. I got to run. I got one more call. But, Jeff, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Our friend Jeff Perry. Let's go to Dick in Madison quickly. Dick, about a minute and a half left. Go ahead, sir. What say you on Tony Bennett?
Well, we're losing all kinds of people that are, you know, late 80s and 90s like him. 2 weeks ago, Peter Nero, the piano player, I'm sure,
yep,
played at one time or another with him. I know he did with Sinatra and all kinds of people like Mel Torme and on and on and on. But when I think of him, I also think of him being involved in this year we're going to be celebrating 60 years of the speech that Martin Luther King gave in August. And he, you know, along with a lot of Hollywood people like Harry Belafonte and himself, and that was huge having them a part of that.
It really was. I'm sorry we got to go up against a break, Dick, but thanks so much for calling in. Thank you for listening. I'll call back. We got more time. Stay tuned next hour. We have Brady Ewing talking football, Badgers, and Badger basketball, and much, much more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for joining us on the Todd Allball Show and the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 1:33 on the Civic Media Network, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. And my sister texted me as she's watching on the stream on Facebook and Twitter, and she said that our friend and the person that she danced for and I worked for, Betty Hayes Baxter, who's still fantastic in her 90s herself, speaking of people in her 90s, Betty Hayes School of Dance, she taught us how to do great costume changes. And so, yes, I was in my suit and tie before the break, and I did a costume change. Now I'm in my Sweet 16 Wisconsin Badger t-shirt because I feel like we're going back to the Sweet 16. And speaking of that, our next guest, somebody we haven't had a chance to talk to in a while. It's been scheduling conflicts, but here he is, live and in color, or at least vocally. It is Brady Ewing, live from Richland Center, a fellow Richland Center native, a three-time Big Ten champion, played in three Rose Bowls, captain of the Badger football team, and 3 years in the league in the NFL for the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brady, it's great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, awesome to be here. It's been probably close to a month, right?
I know. As the kids say, it's been a minute. I don't know. Do they say that anymore? Do they say that anymore?
Hey, we're bringing it back if they don't.
Now, for those watching on the stream, I have my Sweet 16 t-shirt on from 2017. I moved recently, Brady, changed departments, and I had to deal with like a t-shirt purge. You know, like, do I really need this? Am I going to keep this? And I found, I wonder where this went. Here is my NX level t-shirt. I'm holding it up on the stream. The back is what the back is what makes it work like a walk-on, number 34, Brady Ewing, right there. That's what you want right there. And I was going to wear this today, but sadly Todd has gained a couple of pounds since he got this t-shirt and it was a little tight. So Todd needs to go back to the workout room and then we'll wear the shirt. Yes.
Hey,
I know.
Hey, that's good motivation though. You right? Gotta get back in the gym, work like a walk on.
You know,
those shirts are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've got the same thing where some of my favorite shirts are now too small. And I'm like, you know, the pandemic has done a number on my willingness to do anything physical.
Sad but true. But Brady never, I mean, you're still a horse, Brady. My gosh. I mean, you're in fantastic shape. And NX level is where you trained before you went into the NFL, correct?
That's right. Yeah. Brad Arnett over there in Waukesha area. I went down to him a little bit throughout my college career as I was able to, and then trained with Brad and a couple others for the combine and that transition winter there leading into my rookie year.
Oh, fantastic. Great place. Great place.
Does a great job. You know, everybody knows I had a lot of injury challenges, even when I was playing and healthy. Brad and a few select others helped keep me out there and keep me, you know, as pain-free as possible through some of my college career and into my NFL career. I'm super thankful for Brad. Awesome guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were other Badgers, your teammates trained there as well that went on to the NFL.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's trained a lot. I mean, the Watts trained there throughout their high school. And I know Derek Watt, I had the chance to see him a, last weekend, and he's still training at NX level along with TJ Edwards and others that are currently in the league. So Brad's got a great staple, and there's a lot of great players that have come out of that Milwaukee area that have trained there.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners down in WAUK and Waukesha have heard of it. If you have a chance, go check it out. NX level, train like a walk-on, like Brady Ewing. Speaking of, brought this up, you had the big battle for Wisconsin, the Alec Ingold Foundation charity softball game here in Madison. Of course, Alex Ingold, another Southwest Wisconsin boy like you and I. And I wanted to get over to Warner Park to watch this, but we're moving stations right now, Brady, back into the downtown or into the down. So I wasn't able to get over to it. But it was you, the quote-unquote, I don't want to call you old guys, you're much younger than me, but the alum, let's say the alum football players against the current guys, the young Bucks, and by golly, you boys were able to take it to these current Badgers and come away with the win.
It was a blast. It was so cool to be able to see some, you know, guys that I had played with and coached during my time at UW and then have the chance to meet some of these. Yeah, like you said, quote-unquote young guys that are current players at Wisconsin. But, man, I think next year if Alec does it again, which I'm sure he will, and it was just a fantastic event. But I think they might have to step up their tryouts or something for the current guys. They were struggling the first couple innings. They weren't hitting the ball at all and had a couple strikeouts. We even gave them, three strikes to try to hit the ball, and they were struggling. So we – Taylor Melhoff is just an animal up there. He was a kicker at Wisconsin, and he hit one into the right field, third deck up there. I mean, just absolutely crushed it. So, and last year he won the home run derby. So he's quite
a
hitter. So it was fun to see. Yeah.
And it was great. Like, you have Braylon Allen out there, for goodness sake. And a lot of these, big guys. And how great is it that all of you gave up your Saturday and came out and helped the Alec Ingold Foundation? Does a lot of great work. Of course, he's with the Miami Dolphins now, but his foundation does a lot of great work here in Wisconsin.
It does. And his story is so incredible, actually. And a lot of people know it. I'll tell a quick blurb from my experience with him. I came back to coach right after I got done playing at UW as an assistant strength coach, and had the chance to meet Alec there and had heard a lot about him leading into his freshman year. And he basically, when they moved him to fullback, he came up to me and knew I had played fullback at Wisconsin and knew I'd played a little bit in the league, and just said, what do I have to do to not only be able to contribute here at Wisconsin? That's first and foremost, but what do I have to do to make it to that next level? And he asked to start working with me personally, and I have nothing to do with his success other than just, giving him some basic and direction stuff. And he just took it and ran with it. Obviously, was a great product on the field as a running back, a fullback, special teams guy. But he, for him to come up to me and just say, hey, give me some of your experience, some of your wisdom on what I got to do to compete at the highest level possible. And clearly, he's continued to chase that. And his story, coming as a foster kid and getting adopted and just a guy that's faced adversity in so many different ways of his life and continues now to give back to others that would be in similar situations like he was, and does a lot of financial literacy trainings for different communities. So it's really, really cool and rewarding to see what he's doing and just to be a small part of that.
That's great. Folks can follow it on Twitter and other places at Battle 4. That's the numeral 4, Wisconsin, Battle 4, WI, the Alec Ingold Foundation. Really great. Brady, let's get into a little bit of the headlines of the day. Let's start out with the one that's probably the toughest. What's happening down at Northwestern, and we don't need to rehash it all right now because we've been following it here in other places as well. The short version is longtime head coach Pat Fitzgerald fired by Northwestern a week and a half ago or so over lots of allegations of some pretty severe hazing activities. And a lot of this involved what would be classified as sexual, assault or sexual harassment type of hazing. And some of it pretty atrocious, the allegations that are out there. And it appears the student newspaper down there uncovered that this was not just one individual, but now going back, several years. And now there's kind of a class action, for lack of a better term, lawsuit being brought against Northwestern by several former players for physical and mental abuse over the years. And if people look into this, I mean, like I say, it's really disturbing. I guess the perspective I'd like for you, Brady, is A, without violating the Badger locker room, was this kind of stuff, did you ever see any of this kind of stuff at Wisconsin? And B, do you think this is the norm in Division I football?
I don't think it is the norm in Division I football from what I've seen. You know, there's always, you know, any locker room I've been in, whether it's NFL or college, there's always a sense of, you know, I don't even know the correct word to use, but as far as, you know, initiation to a certain extent,
sure,
you know, becoming a part of that locker room. So you can use certain examples for Wisconsin and my NFL experience, whether it's, you know, getting up in front of the meeting room and singing your school fight song in the NFL, you know, that's a right, common one, or, you know, getting up and singing your high school fight song in college, or, you know, doing a freestyle rap battle in the locker room, or doing a dance off. There's these certain things that, you know, especially younger kids as they come in, that there's just certain little things that are fun, that are quirky, that kind of help pass the time during the dregs of fall camp.
Sure.
But to hear some of the allegations that have come out is disheartening. And, you know, there's a lot of different things. I don't know if they're true or not, but there's a lot of different things that become a part of a culture.
Yeah.
Whether it's a work culture, whether it's an athletic culture. And if, you know, some of these allegations are just really, really sad.
One of the things that was being alleged and by several people is that the former coach Fitzgerald basically had this hands-off approach and said the locker room belonged to the players, and that he never went in the locker room. And it sounds like rarely, if ever, did any of his assistants. Obviously it's a different coaching staff now at Wisconsin, but during your time at Wisconsin, was it only the players that were in the locker room, or were coaches in there as well?
No, I mean, coaches were in there.
Yeah.
I think whether it was, you know, pregame, you know, leading into a Saturday game, whether it was after a game or after a practice, before a practice, I think that was, you know, at least in the regimes that I was a part of, that was a part of the, you know, that the football program. And so the coaches were a part of that and aware what was going on.
Yeah,
for sure.
It just seems, and again, we don't need to get too deep into it, but it just, if the allegations are true, that the head coach and other coaches, assistants were never in the locker room, that just seems to me a recipe for disaster, because these are 18 to 23, 24-year-old guys. And if, you know, nobody besides the player is in there, I mean, you know, things could happen. I mean, not that terrible things, but I mean, it seems like obviously anybody 18 older is an adult, but let's just, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds are kids. And so to think that you're never going to have a coach in there to kind of say, all right, guys, let's just, you know, it's Ken Thede used to say, walking through our locker room, gentlemen, keep it clean. I mean, right? I mean, you need some adult supervision
for
like
sure.
That, you know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, at least the way the equipment or the locker room set up in Wisconsin, the equipment room, you know, is right there. So you have equipment managers and things like that too. So there's that perspective. But yeah, I think you're 100% right. The head football coach and the assistant coaches, just, you know, they set the trajectory for the program.
Yeah.
And, you know, if things are not discussed openly and, you know, shared what the expectations are, and if there's things that fall in line and they aren't addressed, you know, sometimes they can become the norm. So I have no idea how things transpired there, but as a leader, whether it's in business, whether it's a football team, you know, whatever it is, you know, they set the trajectory for the culture. And if you're turning a blind eye and not addressing things proactively, you know, I think they can definitely transpire pretty quickly. So.
Let's turn our attention. Yeah, it is unfortunate, and I take no joy at all in this going on at Northwestern, because I'm a pro Big Ten guy, I'm a pro student athlete guy, and I think strong teams throughout the Big Ten are good for Wisconsin. So we wish the players,
absolutely,
the student athletes, and all those at Northwestern the best as they work through this. Let's move on to something a little more positive. And Mr. Zomer, I sent you something. Okay, he's got that queued up. I want to. We have a time for this, Mr. Zomer. Is there time before the break here. All right. So this is a cut, Brady, and we'll get your reaction afterwards. This is Grant Steck, the latest recruit from Illinois for Coach Luke Fickell and why he came to Wisconsin.
As I kept on getting these offers, I tried my best to constantly narrow them down, see which schools I could see myself playing at. And then as soon as the Cincinnati staff came over to Wisconsin, that pretty much sold it for me. I knew that they were going to build a national championship team, and I want to be a part of that. And I'm so excited to be a Badger.
That's right there you go. We'll get Brady's reaction to that on the other side. We're going to do a quick trivia, if we can get this in. Give us a call. The first person with the right answer gets 4 Brewer tickets. The question is, what position did Brady Ewing play at Wisconsin and in the NFL? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What position did Brady Ewing play in college and the NFL? Back after this on the Todd Allball Show.
Does your financial strategy...
40 AM WAUK.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
On our bi-weekly visit with 3-time Big Ten champion, also as the captain of the Wisconsin Badger football team and spent 3 years in the NFL, Brady Ewing joining us live from Richland Center, talking about the new recruiting, or the latest recruiting class for Coach Luke Fickell at Wisconsin program. But Brady, before that, the trivia question we squeezed in here, this is for 4 tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers game on Monday, July 4th at 7:10 versus the Cincinnati Reds. Great battle for the Central Division. The question is, what position did Brady Ewing play at Wisconsin and in the NFL? Mickey, listening in from Kenosha on our brand new station down there. Mickey, what say you? Or Mikey, I'm sorry, apologize. Mikey.
I'm going to take a guess with fullback.
Brady Ewing, what say you? What position did you play?
That is the correct answer. I played fullback.
There you go. Mikey, we appreciate you listening. Are you listening to us on the over the air or on the app?
On the FM radio.
All right, very good. WRJN down there in Kenosha. Do you have 3 other buddies or family members to take with you to the game?
Oh, I sure do.
All right, fantastic, Mike. We appreciate you listening. Stay tuned.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Stay on the line. Put you on hold, and Mr. Zomers will get your information. We have more tickets to give away later on this hour, or maybe we'll put it into next one. But Brady, you heard that cut before. Congratulations to our listener down there in Kenosha. We appreciate that, and all of you listening. Don't forget, you can hear the Brewers both on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh, and also on WRCE in Richland Center all season long, Milwaukee Brewers baseball. That cut before the break, Brady, was Grant Steck. I believe he's a 4-star recruit, tight end from Illinois. And boy, Luke Fickell is making an impression all across this country, it seems like.
He is. Yeah. The amount of, 4-5 star, just, the accolades of some of these recruits that he's able to get a commitment from right now is fantastic. What I'm excited to see is how he can pull those types of athletes together throughout a full season and pull them together as a team. Yeah. Amidst all of the academic stuff, at least it seemed like a lot of my experience when I was at Wisconsin, the higher star guys, maybe I have no idea how these guys are now, but they typically struggle with some of the academic side of things. So having been a part of the program and seen that, I expect these guys, can keep up with it and, have the support that they need to continue to execute. But I'm just excited to see how we can pull them together as a team and do it sustainably for the foreseeable future.
Here's some of the first class for Coach Luke Fickell at quarterback. Is it Mabry Madauer? Is that how you pronounce the name? The last name, Madauer?
That's the way I see it.
All right. Mabry Medauer, a number nine a recruit out of Rivals, according to Rivals. Running back Dylan Jones, a number seven recruit, according to ESPN. Running back Darian Dupree, number four out of, from Rivals. Of course, Grant Steck, number seven, according to ESPN. And offensive tackle Kevin Hayward, a number 11 recruit, according to On3. And Brady, again, you were a walk-on at Wisconsin, ended up earning the scholarship, being the captain of your team your senior year, along with Russell Wilson, Aaron Henry, and who else am I forgetting?
Pat Buttram.
Thank you, Patrick Buttram. Yep. J.J. Watt, also a walk-on. And it seems like, to your point earlier, a lot of Wisconsin's biggest successes were guys that kind of had to earn it. And now it seems a little bit like under Coach Fickell, and I don't mean to sound this be a criticism or negative, but you're getting, it seems like, more of these bigger names out there in the recruiting class. Is this a sign of Wisconsin changing the way they do things, or is it just that the program has been built up under Coach Christ and Coach Leonard and now has some new sizzle with Fickell?
I think there's a little bit of both. I think, you know, there's the foundation there of a great program that goes, you know, Coach Christ, Coach Bielema, you know, Coach Alvarez have really laid that foundation, and they did it a certain way. And I think that history and that tradition of success, of academic and athletic success, and then you throw in the new sizzle, I like that word, of Coach Fickell and his staff and the recruiting, you know, the marketing stuff that they're doing to really, you know, play to, you know, the current generations, you know, what they're looking for, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Right.
It's really cool to see that history and that tradition pair with, you know, some new sizzle. So I think there's that, but it also, I'm, you know, as a Wisconsin guy, as a walk-on, I guess a little concerning from me as far as, you know, trying to keep Wisconsin guys in state.
Right.
I know they said that was going to be a key focus of theirs, but we've lost a lot of Wisconsin recruits to, you know, other big name schools. So, interested to see how that continues to play out in years to come, how, you know, the Wisconsin guys, where they end up going and how fitting into this puzzle.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, unfortunately, but I want to get your quick take on Wisconsin Badger basketball recruiting, because there you've got Wisconsin guys staying home in many cases, and big names in the Wisconsin Badger basketball program. There's a great article by Dylan Graff from Badger Notes called "Nonsensical Wisconsin Men's Basketball Rambling for Sickos, Number One." When it comes to Wisconsin basketball, I am a sicko because I like to absorb all of it. Tyler Wall, Stephen Crowell stay home or stay with the program. This guy, Gus Yeldon, he's a four-star center from Appleton, expected to play immediately. You got a transfer from the portal from St. John's, AJ Store. I'm super, I mean, I wore my Sweet 16 shirt today because I don't want to jinx it. In a minute and a half, Brady, I feel a big season coming on for Wisconsin basketball.
Yeah, it does feel big. And I, you know, that was one of the biggest criticisms of Coach Gard. You know, he couldn't recruit, recruit. And I think there's been a unique set of situations here the past year or two that have played out. But you look at, you know, Gus Bus, and the type of player he is, I think fits perfect into Coach Gard's, you know, schemes, and, you know, be able to get some guys in the transfer portal. So there's a lot of upside potential with new recruits coming in and the foundation that's already there in basketball. And I'm still a huge Gard supporter myself. And, you know, I think we never seem to do great when there's high expectations.
I know.
It feels like, right? It feels like we have the right amount of expectations. You know, there's expectations there, but they aren't too high, but not too low. So I think that's good.
And I was remiss in saying that Coach Gard got the highest rated point guard in Wisconsin history. And I love it because the kid's from Minnesota, a four-star named Daniel Frieda. And he committed to Wisconsin. And I, any chance to stick it to Minnesota, it makes me happy.
Oh, no doubt. And we've done that a lot in basketball and some in football.
Right.
So I always love that.
And I want to put all the Gopher fans on notice. The Axe is coming back to Camp Randall this year. I'm just saying.
It's got to come back.
It's got to. Thanks, Todd. Brady Ewing, always enjoying you. Have a great day up there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep, my pleasure. Stay with us now. The Town Hall Ball Show continues in hour number two here on the Civic Media Radio Network. More Brewers tickets and State Fair tickets on the other side.
Attention.